Hi there, I'm Lily. Welcome to the Vital Horse Podcast. I'm a veterinary surgeon passionate about what our animals' behaviour can alert us to. I focus on nurturing the innate nature of animals to address the deep roots of health, well-being and vitality. Our relationship with our horses is an inextricable part of this. I am guided by what they show me. Many people say, if only they could talk, but they can tell us so much and we can communicate back. This podcast is about you being able to help your horse fully by finding out what's going on, deciding how best to help, and then doing this ethically and effectively. In this way, we can investigate and treat behavioural signs and underlying health problems, pain, or dysfunction in our horses while actually improving our relationship with them. Let's find out how. In this episode, I talk about what our horses can tell us. So, what sort of things to observe in order to answer questions that we have about things like, do they have pain somewhere in their body? Do they have an underlying health condition? Maybe are their lifestyle needs being met? Or maybe how do they best learn and why are we not progressing with maybe training a particular thing? So I believe that there is a really strong link between health conditions, certain behavioural signs or obstacles that we may be coming up against, and also really deep, meaningful relationships with our horses. And if we do read their mind, body and emotions and be able to communicate with them subtly yet clearly, then anything to do with their health and vitality, the prevention, investigation and recovery of that, or the maintenance of that, or maybe even the celebration of that, are a journey that you take together, which gives you just as much as maybe other activities do with your horse. So in this episode, we will explore how to do this, what things to notice, and then in an upcoming episode, I will talk about what this might mean. So, I just said that there is a strong link between health conditions, behaviours, and deep, meaningful relationships with our horses. So what I really mean by this is that usually I have found that certain behavioural obstacles in horses are a reflection of an underlying physiological, structural, or emotional, or maybe cognitive state, and therefore the health status of their body is usually meaningful when we are coming up against behavioural obstacles. We could probably use training approaches to help in a lot of cases, but quite often there is something underlying, unless it is simply just that they don't understand what we're asking them to do, or we're very inconsistent with our instructions, that kind of thing. If there's really something, some sort of behavioural sign that they are showing, and certainly some sort of physical sign that they are showing, then we really need to check in with their health status underlying. And in so doing, we can read their body, also their mind and their emotions, and those things are so inextricably intertwined that they obviously all have knock-on effects on each other. Then communication with our horse becomes part of helping them with their health condition. And that's particularly relevant for me as a vet with teaching cooperative care behaviours for veterinary interventions. But it also extends to other things like having a conversation about how a horse could maybe move differently. Maybe they could pick up a different habitual form of movement, or maybe they could change their balance slightly and be able to not fall on top of us when we're leading them, that kind of thing. So that's not necessarily a veterinary diagnosis that's causing that, but it's certainly a structural and a functional thing in their body that may be getting in the way of how you would like them to behave. A lot of people say if only they could talk when they talk to me about being a vet and being able to distinguish or uncover what it is that is going on with an animal patient, but they really can. So you can really hear your horse tell you how they feel. They can tell you where they hurt. You can certainly observe how they best learn, and also whether their needs are being met or how fully their needs are being met by their lifestyle and maybe even the sorts of communication that you are using with them as well. So the way that I do this is an approach that I've called attuned assessment. And the reason why I called it attuned assessment is there are various definitions of attunement. One of them is just harmony, another involves understanding, and they all involve recognition of some kind. And there's also another sort of nested definition within that, which is resonance, where you respond to another being with emotional warmth and generosity, and then that will enable them to show you more. So this is a huge part to do with our relationship and our connection with our horses. And what I've found is that by really noticing even the most subtle signs that they give, they in a way let their guard down when asking questions like, is there pain somewhere? And they also they feel willing to have that conversation with us because not only are we actually going to notice at all, but we are going to respond with some sort of warmth towards it. So we have the capacity to hear what they have to say. And actually, that's a whole thing to explore because we can sometimes have certain blocks to noticing certain things. And so this is just as much of a sort of noticing things about yourself as it is noticing things about your horse. And a large part of it actually is not attaching meaning to the observations that you are making straight away, because attaching meaning is a very human thing to do and it's a very natural thing to do. But it can be also a very anxious thing to do. And also, it can lead us down some slightly wrong paths. We might get confirmation bias about, then we won't only notice the things that confirm our previous hunch or conclusion that we've already come to. And we might get some tunnel vision about certain things. So, trying to remain curious about the signs it is that your horse is showing, and those signs may be somewhat inadvertent, or they might be actually quite they might be quite overt and deliberate. So your horse really trying to communicate something to you, or it might be that they're actually they're just showing the signs they can't help it. Really, this approach requires you to really slow down, be present, and use all of your senses. So certainly vision, hearing is also an important one for things like breathing, chewing, any footfall irregularities, maybe certain parts of their body click. So all of those things are important. And then definitely feel and touch of their body when we do a hands-on assessment. And the other thing about it is the two-way communication that it sets up, with the animal being an active participant in the process. So when we notice some little signs, little subtle signs, or the not so subtle ones, and we do something, anything, to indicate to the horse that we have noticed, they will definitely notice that, and it means that we have started to set up a two-way communication. And in my experience, I have found that they are far more willing to show you more when that happens. So before I started this approach, in my veterinary physical examination, I would often get animals who tense up and guard as soon as I start examining them, and they wouldn't let that guard down the entire way through the physical examination. What I noticed was that actually I had to slow down and notice things even before I put any hands on them a lot of the time. And I often had to respond to things at the time. So even something as subtle as when I noticed this particular one in cats, actually, their pupil sometimes slightly spasms when you touch a particularly sensitive area. And to make sure that I pause or take my hand away when that happens. In horses, they often have a particular type of blink or a change in blink or stopping blinking. They might have a change in breathing. They definitely will have changes in facial expressions, possibly postures. So there's all sorts of different levels of subtlety about that. There is a real link here to pain and discomfort. So, when a being does feel a sense of attunement or resonance, then they are more likely to reveal where they're uncomfortable. And the other thing is that it can be therapeutic. So, that sense of safety or connection or having some other being sort of shoulder some of it for you can actually reduce the unpleasant sensation or experience of pain. So, the definition of pain, which I say a lot, is that it is an unpleasant sensory and emotional experience associated with or resembling that associated with actual or potential tissue damage. So, there's a lot of ors and resembling and associateds in there, and potential as well. And the reason why I bring this up is because pain is not just some nerves firing. It's an emotional experience, and so it is coloured by and filtered by the emotional state that you are in the moment, and also most habitually, or have been recently, and historical experiences as well. And that it doesn't actually have to be associated with any actual tissue damage. So you can have pain in the absence of a lesion that you actually can find. What that also means is that perhaps we can sometimes dissolve some experiences of pain without having to treat a lesion. And that's quite a big discussion that I won't go into quite, right now. And instead, I will tell you about my process and how you can maybe start trying this with your own horses. But this is a really good thing to keep in mind that we can sometimes dissolve some things that actually contain rather a lot of worry. So, in terms of how to carry out an attuned assessment, I have three sort of arenas that I tend to divide it up into in my mind. And the first one is distance observations, and I often set up a number of food stations for this particular one. And I can design them in various ways in order to encourage either various types of movement, maybe different head positions, maybe different sensory stimuli in order to answer particular questions. The second sort of arena is called interaction observations. So that's noticing what happens when you're actually working with your horse, what happens with them, what happens with you, what happens between the two of you. And then the third one is the hands-on, and in with that is a lot of two-way communication. So you're sensing a lot with your hand on the horse, and then you're also noticing any of the subtle signs that your horse is giving and responding to them in order to explore further. So the things that you need to notice are posture. And then I'll also talk a little bit about body and hoof shape as well, which is less of a conversation thing. That's more stuff to notice about your horse currently. Movement, so things like range, fluidity of movement, coordination, habits. Then there's facial and body expressions. There's behaviors that they will display or maybe offer in different situations, things that they've learned, things that they've failed to learn, maybe. Then there's emotions around eating. Emotions around moving, emotions around being touched or approached, maybe having pressure applied when we're asking them to do things, maybe certain cues, how they feel about those, and then how their body feels when you palpate them. So that means touching with your hands, basically, feeling with your hands. And then we can also take various measurements and document with photographs and take videos, that kind of thing. So there are different ways of carrying this out. We can do this with them loose housed, which is preferable. So just go into their field or their stable and just hang out. Or you can do it in a more structured way. So that's what I was talking about with the food stations. And they can provide different sensory and motor inputs, different postures. They can pose problem-solving puzzles and they can just be fun, basically. So what sorts of things can we observe? And this might be observing when we're using food, or it might be observing when we're in an interaction, maybe when they are interacting with other horses. But some things to observe, for example, when they're eating, emotions around eating. So, do they attack a hay net? Do they seem frustrated by very small holes? What posture are they in while they're feeding? What sort of balance is their body in? Are there any tension patterns? Range of motion, for example, of their jaw whilst chewing, maybe their preferred feeding height, their symmetry. So, how are their limbs and how is their body whilst they are eating? Do they tilt their head on one side, for example? Do they bend that? Do they have a curve in their body or in their neck? And then things like, do they experience separation anxiety? Or do they go to a particular place expecting food? And how do they feel if, for example, routines around feeding are interrupted? Or do they need a routine even? Are they able to problem solve in the presence of food? So, if horses have got a lot of frustration or anxiety around food, they may not be able to problem solve, or they may not be willing to. And sometimes they sort of try and either smash up a food puzzle or they just give up straight away. They can't figure it out and they need to go and find food somewhere else. Or they might not be that motivated about food in general. They might need to move around all the time and sort of have ants in their pants, or they might be a bit stuck to the ground and not be able to move very much whilst they're eating and stay in that mode until they've completely finished all of the food available in that particular location. And then you can also look at things like how aware they are of their body in space. Do they know if they're trailing a leg, or are they aware of the height of their head and that kind of thing? And then certainly look at facial and body expressions throughout eating. So you might notice tension in their jaw, a worried look showing the whites of their eyes, tension in the muzzle or changes in their ears, that kind of thing. Maybe with the presence of a person or the presence of other horses or the presence of certain other horses. Maybe with certain types of food. If they find something very high value, but they're worried that maybe it's sort of limited edition, then there might be some anxiety there whilst they're eating it. Or they might guzzle it, for example. So, lots of things to observe around them eating. When we're interacting with our horses, we can notice just what happens between you and your horse, or you can watch interactions with maybe other people or between other horses. And you can just carry out a usual groundwork or a ridden session, perhaps, or you can observe sort of husbandry procedures. So, what happens when you lift their leg? You lift a foot for foot cleaning, for example. Is there one limb that is extremely heavy or maybe a bit stiff? Or do they need to slam it down? Can they hold it up for any length of time? Do they habitually have to reorganize their other three limbs when you try and pick up one particular limb? Do they quiver or shake when you're lifting a limb? Do they try and move away if you suggest moving one particular limb? Or do they perhaps coil a limb up high and seem very tense? Does it feel very light in your hand? When you put it back down, do they place it back down on the ground or does it drop like a stone? And does it land toe first or do they put it back down flat or maybe heel first, maybe on one side? So there's lots of things to notice about that. Then what comes up in the horse and in you in different situations? What sorts of emotions and thoughts are coming up when doing particular things? You might find that you actually don't feel particularly comfortable applying any pressure to your horse if you're using sort of pressure and release type of communication. Or what ceiling level of pressure are you happy applying to your horse? And does your horse respond to that? Because if not, then we need to find a different way of communicating and perhaps coming back to reintroducing that method of communication. You can also observe their emotions around cues, maybe being moved or moving at all, maybe learning new things. Do they really enjoy it? Do they look a little bit annoyed about being cued to do certain things? Are they a bit sticky being moved, or is it actually difficult to slow them down or stop them? What sort of postures do they wait for a cue in, or do they wait at all? And what sort of postures do they move in? What's their balance? So front to back, side to side. Do you notice them leaning in one direction more than another? Do you notice them sort of tipping forwards? What are some tension patterns? Do you notice certain bulging muscles? Do you notice some areas that don't seem to move when they move? What's their range of motion and does that vary? Do they lift one limb higher and further than another when they're moving? And is that different left to right? So, what's their symmetry? The other thing that might happen when you're in a sort of session with them is that they might be hypervigilant, maybe noise sensitive, maybe have some separation anxiety from other horses. And it's useful to notice that. And then we can think about what that means later. And notice as many features about these things as possible. When does it happen? So, what happens? When does it happen? How does it happen? We won't come to why just yet because we're trying not to get this confirmation bias or tunnel vision about stuff. We're trying to leave the interpretation until a bit later. And awareness of their body in space, like do they interfere with their own limbs, or would they always knock a pole with one limb, for example? Certain behavioural responses happen when we're in a session, a training session or a ridden session with our horses. So these can give you clues as to what sort of emotional tone the horse is experiencing in that moment, because behavior is an expression of, well, partly what they're feeling in the moment, but also historical factors and what they've previously learned, and then also their underlying health status as well. So there are quite a few behaviours that could indicate, for example, pain when being ridden. And then there's also, of course, just blocks in communication or lack of understanding of what we're asking them to do. And being able to figure out which one of those is what's happening requires us to gather as much information as possible. In terms of hands-on exploration of the horse's body, I usually approach this with a sort of an open question to them. Can we communicate about where you have discomfort or worry or pain? As opposed to where is it? Where is it? Because they notice the difference in the sort of vibe. And this is on their timing. So you explore their body, but when they are ready. And sometimes you will actually notice that they're really quite worried about being touched anywhere. And if that's the case, you can actually just look at various different body regions to begin with. Or you might find that they are truly giving you permission to touch them in certain places, but others they are worried about. You might notice things about certain areas of their body in terms of texture under your hands, rough, smooth, stringy, maybe. Rigid, bouncy, spongy, soft. Sometimes you get buzzing sensations. Sometimes there'll be a lot of twitching. They might be clamped. You'd notice changes in temperature, hot, warm, and cold. And then if you move parts of their body around, so maybe their head and their neck, or their limbs, or their tail, then you can assess range of motion. There might be stiffness, there might be jerking, there might be trembling or quivering. There could be crepitus, which is clicking or crunching sensations. And then, most importantly, it's their responses to you. So there will be changes in breathing, blinking, head carriage, their eyes, their muzzle, their lips, chin, jaw, cheeks, ears, head and neck, so head and neck position. Then it's also important to keep sort of body scanning yourself and noticing what's happening in you, because you might be able to feel changes in your breathing, maybe even your heart rate, your posture and balance, tightness or soreness in certain areas, leaning in one direction, maybe propping yourself up. And then just explore what happens if you just change something. And most importantly, if you change something when the horse changes something, and then notice how much more they show you after that. So part of this is sort of getting your eye in to lots of subtle signs. And the other part is that I really do truly think that they show you more as you notice more, because they are aware that you have seen them. So watch with soft eyes and use peripheral vision as opposed to a laser focus on them. And then you can choose sort of body areas to notice. So maybe you would do one hands-on session and look at their facial expressions, and then you might do another and try and notice their breathing. And then you can start to combine those things and see a bit more. When it comes to reading posture and body and hoof shape, this is less about their behavioural responses and more looking at their body. And so you can actually take some photos and then have a look more closely at those if that feels easier. So posture and balance and tension patterns are all linked with each other. They're also all linked with nervous system states and emotional states, and they can be reflections of pain as well. And then musculoskeletal development, so the size and shape of muscles, and also sometimes the size and shape of bones if things have been going on for a long time, or lack of certain development of certain areas, shows what is habitually used and what can move or can't really move, or is not currently being moved. And certain postures are also indicative of proprioceptive input that's gone a bit wonky and might need resetting. Then hoof shape, the hoof capsule, the nature of the hoof capsule material and its wear and growth means that it responds to how it is loaded over time. So we can look at the hooves and get an idea of posture and movement over time, and also know whether the current hoof shape is perhaps preventing a healthier way of standing or moving. Discomfort and pain, they're often a contracted and sort of restricted posture, and they're either in some degree of sympathetic activation or a bit of shutdown response. And tension is often at first protective and it can be reversed. But long term, it can become what's called maladaptive. And so it's no longer really helping them. And it might be causing secondary spin-off problems. And it can leave traces in things like their posture and their balance, and maybe even their hoof shape. So, things to look at in terms of hoof shape. For example, if they're loading, if you were to look at your horse from in front and they are habitually loading the inside of their foot more than the outside, you would tend to see a more upright part of the hoof wall and a more flared part of the outer hoof wall. So if you were looking at them from in front, then towards the midline of their body, you would see a more upright hoof wall and a less upright hoof wall towards the outside of their body. So that's one example. They might scuff their toe and therefore sort of square off the front of their foot. So they might have some wear on there if they're barefoot, for example. And then the other thing is feeling for certain structures in their foot. And I won't go into detail in this now because this could be a whole podcast episode. But you can certainly feel around the back of the foot, around the top of the bulbs of the heel. Sometimes that's actually quite sore in certain horses with certain postures. And maybe correcting their hoof shape can sometimes help with that because of redistributing loading patterns. Things that you could notice about their body shape are, for example, prominence of bony areas like withers or the tuber sacrali, which are on the top of the pelvis, which, if they're very prominent, that's often known as jumper's bump, for example. You can notice how developed certain muscles are. So, for example, if their neck looks like it's on upside down or the right way up, that can give you a lot of indication of habitual muscle use. And the orientation of their limbs is also really important. So, horses should stand, if they're on level ground, with their limbs vertically oriented. And there's rather an epidemic of domesticated horses standing with their limbs non-vertically oriented. And that uses a lot of muscles that are not meant to be postural muscles, are needed to be recruited to hold up the horse's body weight. And so they can have sore areas, they can have extra wear and tear on certain structures that can predispose them to injury or are just sore anyway. And that it also slightly skews the proprioceptive input to their nervous system, and therefore the cycle continues, it's perpetuated. So they keep going on in that posture, even though it's not actually appropriate for the level ground that they are actually standing on. So I will go into in a bit more detail what these things might mean in a future episode. But in the meantime, do some observations of your horse, either from a distance or while interacting with them, and hands-on as well. If you're on the path of trying to figure something out as to whether your horse has an underlying health condition or maybe has some pain somewhere, it's really helpful for the professional that is helping you, whether that's a vet or a farrier or a foot trimmer or a body worker, for example, among others, maybe a saddle fitter as well, to be really clear and specific about which signs your horse is showing, because that makes the process of investigation a lot more accurate. And also, we can figure out which things are actually significant. So, you might gather a lot of information and some of it is not really relevant, but that's okay because you will come across some things that are really relevant and helpful. If you can't be really clear and specific, and it's more sort of mild grumbling, not quite right, that's very difficult to know where to start. And so an investigation can sometimes go down some wrong avenues before you hit on the thing that is actually what you need to be investigating. And that may happen sometimes, especially if there are structural things that are affecting lots of different parts of the body. You may need to go down various different investigative avenues. And sometimes you also need to do a bit of trial and error of management or treatment. The case of not quite right can certainly be frustrating for all involved. But certainly, if a history is vague, then a professional helping you is going to be sort of set back a lot more than if we have some real specific signs to work on, even if they're quite subtle. If signs are episodic, intermittent, or very subtle, it can help to keep a diary in order to gather a bit more information before we can then decide on the best course of action. So then we might be able to determine what signs the horse is actually showing, and we can also determine things like possible triggers, so which things might be associated in terms of time with those things happening. Definitely don't delay the first examination with your vet if you're worried about your horse in order to make a diary. But if, you know, if you're on the path of figuring something out which is a bit confusing or it's intermittent, then that can be really helpful. And then take photos and videos and make sure that you include or you at least write down some context, for example. With this approach, we can see more than we might otherwise have seen. We might have the horse allow us to see more, they might show us more, We also will be more able to document or track changes over time if we've already got our eye in and we know what we're looking to evaluate. And we can also catch changes before they become too severe. So stay tuned for the next episode on what does it mean when we see certain things in our horses. I will see you there. If you would like to learn a practical, compassionate approach to asking and answering questions about how your horse feels, what they need, where they might hurt, and how they best learn and communicate, I am running an online workshop on my approach called Attuned Assessment. Workshop materials are available now in the online member area and include webinars, videos, and PDF guides. The first of three live Zoom Q&A calls with me is on the 6th of February at 7 p.m. GMT, that's UK time. Sign up at www.nurturingnatureequine.co.uk/attune. Thanks for listening to the Vital Horse Podcast, where you can find discussions focused on helping horses in ways that combine scientific principles and evidence with compassion and understanding. Do subscribe if this content has rung true for you. To work with me in a way that honours both head and heart, check out my online and in-person offerings at www.nurturingnatureequine.co.uk. If you are facing problems or are trying to answer questions with your horse, remember that physical, mental, and emotional well-being are inextricably interconnected, that there is a wisdom to nature and to the body that we can assist, and that cultivating meaningful relationships with our animal companions holds an important key to the well-being of all of us. Deep awareness and a compassionate process will enable us to find sustainable, ethical solutions. See you for the next episode and look forward to working with you too.